Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It's our Take 10 with Tim. It's Friday the 19th of August, about 10 o'clock. Tim, how are you doing today?
I couldn't be doing better. The sun's shining, birds are tweeting. We've got some outstanding notes, even better than the usual outstanding notes.
Really?
Lots to cover today. Yeah, I certainly like the idea of looking at hitting and pitching a little bit for the end of the year and for next year. And you know what, I thought that at some point in time, okay, things might slow down a little bit, maybe get a little bit boring, the waiver wire would be a real chore, and as of right now I've got 17 names sitting here.
Really? Wow.
Lots going on in the game and I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I woke up, I'm sure you did as well, to the news that Marcell Ozuna got arrested for DUI. I think it's his second or third one, and just got bailed out. So I'm not sure what this means short-term nor long-term for him.
Well, I know it. He's still with the Braves, isn't he?
He's still with the Braves. 20 home runs, 19 home runs, a .263 on base percentage. He's just become, he's gone back to his ways of swinging at everything. He's simply a power guy. Yeah. And get this, he's owed $16 million for the next 3 years. So cutting ties with him, which is probably what the Braves would prefer to do at this point, seems to be, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. So I don't know if he's going to be suspended. I doubt he's in the games this weekend. Maybe he is. What do you think?
I think I like Michael Harris a lot more with this news than I already liked him before it. And the news with Harris signing the big contract extension. The Braves got themselves a really good team. As it sits right now, Ozuna is projected in a bench role. DH. Robbie Grossman is playing fine for them.
Robbie Grossman's always the guy on the wrong side of the platoon. He's great against lefties. So you know, you've got him. You've got the guy that was in Minnesota. Yeah. Yep. And I was thinking, the guy that was in Minnesota for years.
Eddie Rosario. Him penciled into left field. Harris in center. And, of course, Ronald Acuna in right.
Okay. So then in that scenario, Ozuna might have been the DH. But I have to think that, you know, if you're counting on him for the rest of the season, Timmy, I would be, it's not a good setup for him. I mean, here he is arrested for DUI again, and he is already kind of a part-time player, but they owe him a ton of money, so.
Well, yeah, it's, when you start looking at the Braves lineup, William Contreras is getting, you know.
Oh, yeah, the lion's share of the DH, yeah.
Yeah, DH, so it Marcell Ozuna could find himself on the outside looking in for the balance of the season, even without this, you know, the current DUI issue. You know, the guy has got some serious issues, and I hope that he finds a way to deal with his demons before they ruin his life, and it appears right now the demons are winning.
Yeah, and the thing about baseball, I mean, when he was coming through the minor leagues early in his career, he never walked, right? So it was a really aggressive, really aggressive profile. Then, if you look like a few years ago, he started to be more patient at the plate, signs the big deal, becomes an all-star, and then he's gone right back to where he was early in his career. So I don't know if he's pressing. I don't know if the demons are I don't know what it is. But he's not a very good baseball player at the moment. All he is a guy that hits home runs. And I keep telling everybody, because Tim, you know, I write about prospects. There's a lot of guys in the minor leagues that can hit a ball a ton, but either strike out too much or never walk. And those guys are, I don't want to say a dime a dozen, but I'll say a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere.
Well, yeah, you know, and you start looking at his current strikeout to walk ratio, 107-27, a 263 OBP.
Yeah,
yeah,
not good.
That's there. You're right. There are minor league players all over the landscape that can give you that with 25 home runs.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a tough profile, is it?
Yeah, and you can get them in the first 3 years of their major league career, play them league minimum, and you're good. You don't need to pay somebody $16 million to do that. They're cheap.
Yeah, well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't pay Harris much more than that, and they've locked him up for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, nice such signing. A night. You know, it's funny. I think it was having a Twitter discussion with the great John Dean, and if you take a look with Tatis Jr.'s recent issues, you know, with his $14 million, $350 or $40 million deal. And I'm not saying that Michael Harris is at the same level, potential long-term level, as Tatis Jr., but I don't know if Tatis Jr. is 3 times or 2.5 times better, or 3 times better than Michael Harris. It just seems like a bad idea to tie up a kid when he's 21, 22 years old for his entire career, when you got 140 at-bats, which 140 games under his belt, versus what they did with Harris. We'll sign him up. He's going to make a lot of money. The Braves are going to save a lot of money if it hits its ceiling. But guess what, Timmy? What if he turns into Tatis Jr. and starts to have some trouble that he can't play for a few years? You know, so there's risk all around. I think that's a much safer risk than what the Padres did with Tatis Jr.
Well, yeah, when you look at Harris, you're talking about a player with 260 at-bats under his belt, okay, as a 21-year-old. Now, you look at the contract, and you say $72 million, that's all, on an 8-year deal? But he's 260 at-bats.
Yeah.
You don't know how this thing is going to shake down. He's 21 years old. I have a tendency to believe that Michael Harris is going to be a star.
Yeah.
And above average player. But as we've seen with Tatis, there are no guarantees.
There are no guarantees. And I think people forget that these are children, Timmy. I mean, they're 21, 22 years old. You don't know what kind of men they're going to grow up to be. And, I mean, maybe he grows up to be Marcell Ozuna, and all of a sudden he's got, you know, some issues that prevent him from playing baseball for a while. Yeah. Those are all the things that teams go through. And I don't know. I'd be willing to make, you know, in baseball math, a $72 million investment on 260 at-bats versus a $350 million investment on maybe twice that many at-bats. I just don't understand what the Padres did. I think it was a bad deal.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, with everything that's happened this year, it's a bad deal right now. But had Tatis continued to perform at that level, yeah. The only thing is they took and assumed all the risk.
That's exactly.
Yeah, with Harris, both parties are assuming some risk. But yeah, you got to look at Michael Harris, 21 years old, okay, and he's got $72 million guaranteed his way. Mm-hmm. That's life changing cash.
It is. And
his family, he's in a good situation. So say what you want about, you know, 2 years from now, Michael Harris could be the best player in baseball. We don't know if he is. he still didn't sign a bad deal because he guaranteed his future. And that's something that I think doesn't get stated clearly enough.
I totally agree with it. And it's so jarring when you see the contrast of the Padres taking all of the risk. Yeah. Tatis Jr. will be 36 years old when that contract is over. So that he's a lifetime contract, Timmy. You bet a tremendous sum of money that A, the guy is going to be healthy for most of his career. B, he's going to be a solid citizen, and he's going to produce the kind of numbers after most 2019 season and a partial 2020 season. That's what they bet on. And I don't know, Timmy, it's a great deal for Tatis Jr. I mean, he'll never have to want for anything the rest of his life. But, man, if you're the Padres, you take on all that risk? I don't know, man. I wouldn't do it.
Is ringworm chronic?
Yeah, exactly. That's still TMI and total bullshit, right? I mean, it's like
come on. Like,
I'm sure he might have had that as well, but that's like telling partially the partial truth. I don't know.
My dog had ringworm. He still functioned okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
I couldn't resist that shot. But, you know, we're seeing so much garbage come out right now with that whole situation. And the bottom line is you screwed up, Tatis Jr. You did something that broke the rules. You had options. You could have brought the medication to the team. They could have looked at it, had it approved or not approved. You decided not to. You pay the price. No excuses. Own it.
I still think it's all BS. I think he took steroids.
Yeah.
Probably to help him get over his whatever other injury that he has. Is it the shoulder? Is it the wrist? I don't know.
Well, yeah,
it had nothing to do with ringworms. I find that tough to believe.
Yeah, and then we're hearing about the haircut and everything else. It's turning into a little bit of a circus. The bottom line is, he took something for something. We will never know the truth.
Yeah.
Even if he stated the truth now, we wouldn't believe it, would we?
We've seen
so much crap. So, just handled very, very poorly by the whole camp.
Yeah, I learned something from Trevor Bauer. I mean, I have him in two dynasty leagues. I mean, I've kept him. I haven't had to drop him yet. One of the leagues I'm competing in and the other kind of quasi-competing, I haven't had a chance. I just haven't seen the need to drop him yet. He might not ever play again, but I'm hoping this offseason we'll have some resolution on it. And I realized that when I draft him in the one league and I trade it for him in the second league, I dismissed the bad behavior, right? And I said, well, that's just Bauer being Bauer. And I said, I don't want model citizens on my team, but I want people that I think are going to play, right, not get in trouble.
Yeah, there's a little bit of volatility happening there.
Exactly. So there was in DL5, everybody knows I talk about that a lot, Tim and I playing that league together. I've been wheeling and dealing as everybody else that's competing in that league, and somebody was trying to give me Marcell Ozuna. Not give it to betray. And I needed power, Timmy, and I looked at it, and I said, this is a bad dude. This is a guy that's been in trouble. Do I want that on my team? I learned from Trevor Bauer. It's just not worth it. So I said no. And the guy was willing to give me like 50 cents on the dollar. I just said no. I don't want to do it. And I'm glad I didn't. Otherwise, I'd be sitting there as an owner like, what the heck am I going to do with the Ozuna situation?
Well, I was going to say, and knowing, that I'm competing with you very closely in that league, had you traded Bauer for Ozuna, you would have heard about it from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a league I don't have a Bauer in, but the point is I would have traded somebody else. And again, the guy wasn't asking a lot for him, but I didn't want to take the risk, Timmy. I'm thinking, what do I want? I have no idea. Maybe he's going to be great. And I looked at the two something on-base percentage as an on-base percentage league. I'm like, just passing. No. Give me somebody else.
Yeah, at some point in time in your dynasty leagues, you're in the race, you're trying to improve your team, but you still have to look at the big picture. We could use some saves in that league, okay? And one of the owners put up Kenley Jansen. Okay, and basically what he said is, I have to have one of Cade Cavelli. I think Eli was part of that process, Dustin Harris. And I looked at, myself and Bob High, we took a look at it and said, nah, it's not worth it. We don't need him that bad because he's a free agent heading into next year. We don't know if he's going to sign with the heart situation. He could, in fact, retire. We just don't know. So
that's right.
It's not worth it to us, even though he's having a great year. It's not worth it to us to give up a top-tier prospect, hoping that next year it works out. Because if it doesn't, once the prospect's gone, he ain't coming back. So, again, be very careful with how you're wheeling and dealing in your dynasty leagues. I know the contending teams want to upgrade, but look at it very, very thoroughly before you
agree
pull the trigger on any deals.
And again, as a guy who's on Trevor Bauer for now multiple years, in the last 2 years where he hasn't played, Tim, it really blows to look at your bench and CNS next to it and realize that I instead of playing with seven minor leagues or seven bench slots, I'm playing with six.
Well, sure
and,
you are.
And
you
it sucks.
You could use that seventh spot for the hot hand of the week, couldn't you?
That's right. And, I'm like, I probably should drop him, Timmy, but part of me says, gee, I mean, what if it gets resolved? What if he, and if somebody who owns Asuna, let's say he gets suspended, they're going to be in the same spot. Like, is he really done? I mean, do I drop him? You don't need that anxiety.
No, you've got enough anxiety just playing the game. Bonus anxiety, nah, don't need it.
Timmy, let's take a quick break. Good discussion about model and non-model citizens. Get back. I've got 10 questions for you. I think they're fun questions, so let's get on it.
They sure are.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A few weeks ago, Timmy, we said, all the kids have been called up. Not true.
We lied.
Not true. So a lot of guys got called up this week, but three in particular, Brett Batty with the Mets, Oswaldo Cabrera, instead of Peraza, Cabrera gets a call with the Yankees, and Stone Garrett with the Arizona Diamondbacks, which maybe a lot of most people have heard of Batty and some people Cabrera, but few have heard of Stone Garrett. First of all, 70 grade name, Tim Stone. Anybody has a first name of Stone, that's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, Batty's got a pretty good last name too, eh?
Yeah, for sure. Cabrera might be the best of the three, but we'll see. Anyway, yeah. I want you to rank these three in the order for this season, Timmy. And if you're, I'm assuming some of them are in your waiver wire this week, how would you go about adding these guys?
Some? All three.
Okay, all three. And irregardless of position, which, you know, if I really need a fill in the blank, I'm taking Batty because I need a third baseman. What's the order you would add them?
Order for me is Batty, Stone Garrett, and Oswaldo Cabrera in that order.
Interesting, because Cabrera's got the most fantasy-friendly tools.
Yes, but when I look at the situation in New York, Eduardo Escobar, their third baseman, is on the IL with an oblique strain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so that's going to be a few weeks.
Yes, who's blocking his playing time, Ops? Absolutely nobody. He's got the job for at least a couple weeks. And, you know, if he performs well, he could just take that job and run with it for the balance of the year. So I like the opportunity in New York tied into the obvious skills, okay? You know, he hit a home run in his first at bat. Second pitch you saw, the kid's got some skills. Garrett, I have at two. Again, we get a combination of power and speed here. My concern with Stone Garrett, and it's something that could lead to a rather lengthy discussion between the two of us, is he's got the wrong side of a platoon right now. Okay, short term, yes, there's an opportunity with DH, but you know, Alex Thomas and Varshawa got two of the outfield slots, right? Mm-hmm. And the McCarthy is playing very, very well.
Now, another kid.
Yes, another kid with a far better hit tool and skill set than Stone Garrett. Stone Garrett might have the home runs and stolen bases, but he's been
McCarthy's huge speed, right? He's kind of the Miles Straw of Arizona.
Yeah, he's got the speed, but he's also got a great hit tool.
Uh-huh.
You look at his strikeout and walk rates. If I'm not mistaken, his strikeout rate's somewhere in the 15% range, walk rate somewhere in 12 in the minors. Stone Garrett, on the other hand, I believe is your typical 35%,
30%. No. He's more of a mid-20 strikeout guy and a 7-8% walk guy, so it's not that bad.
But he's not the same. He doesn't have that same skill that McCarthy has.
Agreed.
He's got the wrong side of a platoon.
Uh-huh.
Should it boil down to that, because McCarthy's going to see the right-handed bats. But the other question is, when you look at McCarthy and you look at Garrett, what happens when Corbin Carroll arrives and he's not far off?
I don't think he's there this year. Okay, so we're talking short-term. Short-term, I'd be shocked why in the world would they burn Corbin Carroll's service time for...
I agree.
What are they? Are they triple-digit games back of the Dodgers yet? It's kind of getting close.
Yeah, they were before the break. But again, I think if you're looking at investing in these players, especially in dynasty leagues, you should know what you're getting into, both short and long term.
I think it's got to be Varshow, Alec Thomas, and Corbin Carroll, probably in that outfield next year, unless they decide to move one of them. But they're all under 25. Why would they do that? And yeah, so who gets the playing time? I think McCarthy is absolutely your fourth outfielder type guy, right? So not a ton of power, good speed, and gets on base. And then it's like Stone Garrett is probably the outside looking in. He's 25, 26 already?
Yeah, so. Him and McCarthy are around the same age, if I'm not mistaken. I think McCarthy's around 25. They both developed a little bit slower and later in their careers. But, yeah, maybe there's room for one of them at DH. Maybe there's room for both of them at DH.
Yeah,
in a platoon. It's an interesting situation when you've got a team with some really good young talent. How do these two players fit into the overall picture? And, again, for this year... I like Garrett, but I also like McCarthy.
I like McCarthy better because I think you're right. I think he's on the good side of the platoon, and he's a better player. So not necessarily better, higher fantasy. I think the higher upside fantasy player was Garrett, but right. I think the guy who's going to get the playing time is going to be McCarthy. But that's just me. And I think long term, If you're in dynasty leagues and you're counting on these guys to be full-time players, I don't see it, Timmy. Not with the cats that are coming up from Arizona. They got a really good minor league system, and don't forget Jordan Lawler is in high A now, so he's still a couple years away. They've got some guys that are going to be difference makers.
Well, yeah, I saw, if I'm not mistaken, Lawler stole home the other night. Yeah, kid's got some serious skills. Dalton Varsho might be the odd man out 2 years from now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, well, Lawler plays shortstop, so I mean, so that's. But Varsho is good. I mean, look, have you seen what Varsho has done this year? I mean, he has a chance to go 20-20.
Yeah, no, he's having a very, very good year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are trending in the right direction.
And, except they have no pitching. Well, they got Galen, so he's
Merrill Kelly's doing fine.
Merrill Kelly,
he'll be done in a couple of years.
That's true. But you know, Walston's an interesting guy. They've got a couple of other kids that are in Double and Triple A that could make a difference. So I mean, but they don't have the big guys coming up that I think can help from a pitching standpoint. So that's where they're going to have to add players.
Yeah, exactly. But it's an interesting team with now, lots of really positive fantasy implications.
Now, Oswaldo Cabrera is very interesting. That guy's got speed. He's got power. A little aggressive at the plate. I've seen him play a ton. He's always the one of the odd men out. In fact, he made my hot prospect of the list before he got the call this week. That's why everybody should listen to the pod. And I'm like, everybody talks about Peraza, everybody talks about Volpe, everybody talks about Jason Dominguez, but nobody talks about Cabrera. And he looked down, the guy's got 20-20.
Yeah, no, the kid has some serious skills, but can he replace Isaiah Kiner Falefa as a full-time shortstop?
How many home runs does Kiner Falefa have?
Last count,
zero. Right. And
yeah, I'm actually going to my hyperspeed computer here, okay, to see if he managed to actually run into one. It was pretty funny. Yeah, he did. He's got one home run now.
That must have been in the last couple of days. I apologize. Dalton Varsho's only got 8 stolen bases, 16 home runs. So it's not going to be a 20-20, but it could very easily be a 20-10 guy. That's a pretty darn good player. But
also a good backup catcher.
Cabrera is your classic utility guy. The Yankees have played him all over the field. So can he stay up as a utility guy? Can he get enough playing time to help your fantasy team down the stretch? Probably not this year. But, Tim, have you seen what the Yankees have been doing recently?
Or not doing?
They're losing a lot of games, and if it weren't for a walk-off grand slam, I don't know if it was walk-off or not, but Josh Donaldson ran into a grand slam. They're really struggling. Lost again last night. It's not good.
Yeah, again, Aaron Judge hasn't had a home run in 6 games, and he's been carrying that offense.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying I'm down on Aaron Judge, but at some point in time, he had to cool off even a little. And when you're carrying that team on your shoulders, right?
That's right.
Yeah, when you're not constantly on fire, it's got to leave a bit of a mark. And, hey, let's face it, they got some pitching concerns.
Agreed.
Big time. Big time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say... Yeah, that is the next question. If we just skip over to it,
So the Yankees, they traded Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader's a fine player, Tim. I'm not saying, well, gee, why the hell did they do that? Harrison Bader's not playing. Last I looked, right? He's civilian clothes. Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And Jordan Montgomery, 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits, an earned run, 8 strikeouts, and no walks. That's what he did on Wednesday, Tim.
Well, yes, and if you take a look prior to that, Jordan Montgomery has been a great move for the Cardinals.
A great move.
He really has.
They're desperate for pitching, and they got a pretty good pitcher, Tim.
Yeah, and... I posted on the Facebook page, because I'm evil and mean, I posted a poll. Mm-hmm. Who would Yankee fans prefer, Jordan Montgomery or Frankie Montas?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I got to have some fun with
that. They're both number 3 starters. That's a reasonable question.
Number 2 upside on Montas, but he's
I'll take the lefty.
Yeah, Montas has struggled badly since arriving in New York.
Yeah, it's
he has not looked good. You know, hey, you got Garrett Cole's your obvious ace. Nestor Cortes, after a phenomenal start, has settled into who I believe he is, a number three type starting pitcher, 3-4 type start. He's okay. But after that, you got Taillon, you got Montas. Domingo Germán has looked barely mortal. The key there has got to be Luis Severino getting back to the playoffs and in good health. There's some concerns, and, you know, who's the current closer in New York, Rich?
Well, Holmes hit the IL. After a streak of Aroldis Chapman looked great, then he comes in a tie situation, I think, and gives up, what, two or three runs? I think it's Chapman, Timmy. I think that's the logical thing. I mean, Holmes, I think, maybe just ran out of gas, and they needed to give him some time off. So I think it is. I mean, is it the guy that you told me to pick up? That would be really weird.
Really weird. That hurts.
Oh, Tim, you told me he was going to be the closer in Chicago. That's what you told me. Rowan Wick's got 5 saves since that happened. So you're buried, man.
Got one.
Efres. 5-1. Okay. I think Wick got another one last night. But I, you know, the Yankees are going to win their division. I can't believe they're going to have a complete collapse. But if you're a Yankees fan, and there's a ton of them that listen to this show, you can't feel great about going into the playoffs. You got a team that's really struggling at the moment.
And you got a team in the Houston Astros that's playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the records on paper and you rank the Yankees as number one. You look at the underlying situation, and I think right now the Astros have to be ranked as the favorite in the AL. Hands down, it's not close.
I'd be afraid if the Yankees played the Blue Jays in the playoffs.
I sort of had to laugh last night because you know what, we hear all the time, okay, about the Yankees taking advantage of that short porch and getting some cheap home runs. Well, it came back to bite them a little bit yesterday because young Mr. Vlad Guerrero, he got himself a cheapie into right field, a 3-run shot. So, yeah, hey, what goes around also comes around, doesn't it?
The Blue Jays are very good. I think Gausman's been mostly good this year. Alek Manoah looks terrific. You know, I don't know. Gausman and Alek Manoah against Gerrit Cole and fill in the blank? I don't know. I might take the Blue Jays there.
Offense is a wash. They both got... It finally happened. Okay, well, and again, there's some things in Toronto that I question seriously, like bringing in your closer last night in a 9-2 game. If I'm not mistaken, they had him pitch, but they finally moved Bichette to where he should be.
Yeah, seventh.
Seventh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was coming.
Indeed, Tim. Indeed. All right, so we've done two questions. let's do a third one, and then let's do a third one, and then we'll take a break. Jose Miranda's been really good, Tim, particularly of late for the year. He's hitting .283, 11 home runs, and only 78 games. Second half, he's hitting .354. Like, give me your thoughts. I know you've been very high the last month or so on Miranda.
Yeah, and for good cause. He's getting the job done. Do I think he's a 330, 340 bat? No, I think he's a 280 bat. But I think you've got 25, 30 home run potential in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I like Jose Miranda a lot. We traded him away in DL5, and in hindsight, we probably shouldn't, but we had to make a push. So he ended up being one of the players we moved. Again, I like Miranda a lot, and I think when we start looking towards next spring, I think he's going to garner a fair bit of hype.
All right, well, let's do next year, Timmy, and we're going to assume he's not going to go ahead of Goldschmidt, Freeman, Alonso, Guerrero, right? So, I mean, he's not going to go in front of that.
No.
And I'm going to say Brandon Drury's not going to be drafted at first base. C.J. Cron versus Miranda.
Cron, but it's close.
Anthony Rizzo versus Miranda.
Rizzo will go ahead of him. Miranda should.
I guess Matt Olson's not had a great season. I'm assuming Olson goes in front of him. And Matt Olson, right. Hoskins.
He's had a great season, by the way.
I don't know. It's the batting average that people have been disappointed in. But hey, he's got 25 home runs and 79 RBIs. I mean, Rizzo had all those home runs in the first month of the season, and he's he's been fine, Tim. He's been Anthony. He's got six stolen bases, and that's really helping him. But I agree. I would rather have Miranda. What about Rhys Hoskins? Okay. All right. Now it starts to get interesting. So we're looking at potentially 8, 9, 10 slot for potentially Miranda. Jose Abreu, Timmy. 14 home runs. He's hitting .306. He's got 59, 51. Is that right? 59 RBIs.
I'm going to go with Miranda, okay, because I think Tony La Russa will be there for the next 5 years, totally destroying that team. But Jerry's happy. That's all that matters.
Jose Abreu, Timmy, Father Time might be catching up to him.
That's a distinct possibility. I'll go with the youth of the Miranda.
Christian Walker with his 29 home runs and his 223 batting average.
Yeah, I think the 223 is an aberration. I think it's probably going to be – he's going to struggle to get to the Mendoza line is my prediction next year. It's got to be Miranda.
Nate Lowe.
That's an interesting one. I like Nate Lowe.
109 strikeouts, though.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go with Miranda because I think the ceiling is higher with Miranda. But at the same time, Nate Lowe intrigues me a lot. I could see him being on a lot of my teams next year in a corner infield slot.
Miranda?
No, Nate Lowe.
Nate Lowe, okay.
Yeah, but I like Miranda better. Yeah.
Okay, three more. Roddy Tellez, your guy. I'm sure it's Tellez.
Miranda.
Really? Why?
Why? Because Roddy Tellez is sitting against tough left-handed bats.
Yeah.
Yeah,
by the way, so is Cedric Mullins, FYI.
Yes, Cedric Mullins has been getting a bit of rest lately.
That's not good. It's always against lefties, or he's hitting seventh against lefties.
Yeah, and numbers are still fine. I'm not concerned. Yeah, but you know he'll end up with 500 plus at bats next year.
Yep.
So I'm not too concerned there. But yeah, definitely the swing and miss. Hey, Rowdy Tellez has been a great find this year. But he's a big boy with some serious flaws. And long term, I will take who I think has the better overall hit tool in Miranda.
Next one is very interesting, particularly for me, Timmy. Josh Bell was fantastic when he played for the Nationals. He hasn't hit. I don't think he's hit a home run since he's gotten to San Diego. And I'm going to play the 0.0. It's what he's been.
I'm
going to go with Miranda.
Okay, I'm going to still go with Bell, but he is a free agent, so that means I'm not going to draft him next season because he's probably going to play for Texas. But
I like Jose Miranda a lot. I think when you start looking at the group of first basemen down the list a little bit, he could have potentially the best hit tool of any of that group. And that counts for him.
The last one is Ryan Mountcastle. I'm assuming it's Miranda.
Yeah, it will be.
Miranda's going to go 8 to... He's going to go 8 to 10, 8 to 12, your list probably, which is probably going to be higher than most where his ADP goes, and I think that's the smart move. I think he's a very good player.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm all in on Jose Miranda heading into next year.
Let's take a break, Timmy. That's three down, seven to go.
And there's some good ones coming up. Fun ones.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Timmy, I'm not saying Ronzny Contreras is the best pitcher in baseball, but I think sitting in AAA, he was probably the best pitcher in the Pirates organization. I have no idea what they were doing not calling him up. He's already had a ton of service time used up. They finally called him up. He pitched okay. Didn't pitch great. But what took him so long?
Well, they were managing his workload.
He's still pitching. What, is the workload different?
Thank you, Rich. Thank you.
But you hear that all the time. How is the workload in the minor league? I guess it's less stressful innings, slightly less stressful innings. Oh, but, I mean, come on.
Poppycock, I say.
Yeah, poppycock.
I don't know what the Pirates are doing. I don't know if the Pirates know what the Pirates are doing. You're going to manage a guy's workload. You can manage it in the bigs just as easily as you can at AAA.
Yeah.
That's, I have no idea what they're doing. All I know is the second that they trade Ronzny Contreras, grab him. He's going to be an ace.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like also another young kid, Luis Patino, got the start last night. I didn't see what he did. What do you think about Luis Patino as a potential pickup?
Well, he went 5 2/3 last night, 4 hits. 2 walks, didn't allow an earned run, 4 strikeouts. I like Patino. It's all about the health there, and we haven't seen enough of it. But again, if you're looking at the line, remember it was the Royals, so take it with a bit of a grain of salt, because the Royals have not been hitting at all lately, other than Vinny Pasquantino with his home run binge. It's been pretty quiet in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's been good to see Vinny P, by the way, doing. He was the player of the week last week, by the way.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's up to 5 or 6 home runs now. So, yeah, nice to see. I sort of like Patino a little bit long term. I can see him. He's the sort of guy that I think there's enough upside potential. Looking at him as a number 6 type starter next year, I can see the potential for me rolling the dice a bit there.
Interesting. I think that's a very interesting. But what about if he's on the waiver wire for this week? One of your recommendations?
He's already there.
Who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Luis Patino or Ronzny Contreras?
Well, knowing the Pirates, they'll want to manage his innings very carefully, so he could end up back at AAA. Contreras is the obvious choice. He is the better arm, in my opinion. I'll go with Contreras.
I'm going with Patino because he's a piece, doesn't play for Pittsburgh. No, seriously. I mean, I think it's. Yeah, I mean, you said it best. I mean, yeah. How long is he going to pitch? Will they let him only get 3 innings? You don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's awful to be a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. It's awful to have anybody rostered on a fantasy team that's a Pittsburgh Pirate. This is.
Yeah. I totally agree, and you know what?
Drop Mike, leave the stage, right?
Yeah. Hey, sorry, John Dean, but you've got more suffering ahead. It ain't over, not by any stretch of the imagination. I think Contreras is the better pitcher, but Patino could be the better pickup. I can't disagree with you.
The Rangers dismissed John Daniels, Tim, president of baseball with the Texas Rangers. He started off as a GM there in 2005, so he's been there, you know, in a senior level capacity for 17 years. They came close to winning it all in 2010 and 11, but they have been terrible since 2016. They added a bunch of free agents this year, and it's been okay. They really haven't moved the needle. What do you think? Was it deserve the time for him, for the Rangers system to move on and try a different talent at the head?
Well, I think there were two reasons that he was dismissed. One is Marcus Semien, and the other is Corey Seager.
They paid overpaid for those guys?
They paid a small fortune for both of them. And last time I looked, the record was not very good. And I think those are the two reasons that, you know,
the lack of pitching, Tim.
Well, yeah, you know, hey, Nate Lowe's been fine. Adolis Garcia, Jonah Heim at catcher, you know, they're bringing up some of their kids.
Adolis Garcia, 15-game hitting streak, FYI.
Yeah, you know, Leody Tavares is playing a lot better this time around. Sneaky pick for next year, by the way. He's only 24, or will be 24 soon. But again, you're looking at Martin Perez in a cast of nothing.
Yeah. They have no pitching. Dane Dunning has pitched a lot better this season, and I've always kind of liked him, but you're right. I mean, Glenn Otto, all right, the former Yankee, really?
Yeah, Cole Reagans. You know, hey, it hurt losing John Gray.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, they're pitching.
But in all due respect, could you expect more out of John Gray than a number four starter? He's, again, granted, he played his entire career in Colorado, but he didn't pitch that great away from Colorado. And I'm a John Gray apologist. So, I mean, I like John Gray, and I'm saying that.
Yeah, and, you know, hey, you look at the bullpen, it's been up, down. They haven't had a set. Barlow started with the job, had a couple bad games. They removed him. Now it looks like it's Jonathan Hernandez. Jose Leclerc got a save. The bullpen has been a mess basically all season, shuffling the deck. Yeah, the team has some pitching issues that they have to resolve. But on a positive note, they got themselves, if he can stay healthy, one heck of a player at Triple A, who is, I think, a pretty solid lock to break camp with the team next year in Josh Young. And he is heating up down on the farm big time.
Yeah, that's, he made our top prospect of the week again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And rightly so, Timmy. And I kind of joked, I wrote 2 years ago that this would be the last time I'd probably write about Josh Young because he was going to make it to the big leagues in 2021. Yep. Got hurt.
Yep.
And then this year, shoulder injury, didn't start the season on time. Does he get a call? He actually might. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the call. He might be a sneaky pickup because he's been very, very good.
Yeah, I don't think Josh H. Smith is going to hold up his arrival time. How's that?
Yeah, he is. So he's playing third base. Is it? Yeah, it's Josh H. Smith. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Former Yankee.
I now have 18 names on my list. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah. In terms of the minor leagues, I mean, Jack Leiter has been a disappointment to me. He's not been very good this year.
Yeah.
They got Kumar Rocker. That was a risky pick. We'll have to see what that brings. I love Evan Carter. He's still a ways off. Justin Harris, I love as well. So I think he could be a very interesting place. So there's some pieces there. It's a lot better situation in Texas, I think, than Detroit. I'd rather take the job in Texas than in Detroit.
Yeah, there's no question in my mind, you know. And you've got two really good, solid players in Semien and Corey Seager that you're building around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, if you say what you want about Adolis Garcia, but he's getting it done. Nate Lowe is a solid left-handed bat. Hitting in the 3-4-5 slots. Jonah Heim has broke out. Mitch Garver's hurting. Yeah, the offense has some serious potential. It really does, combined with the kids. It'll all depend on the pitching. And they're going to have to go outside the organization probably for at least one arm. And that might actually vault them into contending for a playoff spot as soon as possibly next year.
I think they need some starting pitching. There should be some as free agents, and they need to go better than John Gray or Eduardo Rodriguez. They need to bring in at least a number two starter, and I think that's what that team is missing, somebody that you can throw out there and feel really good that they're gonna stop a losing streak, and they don't have that guy.
Well, no, Martin Perez and John Gray, Dave Dunning, they're 3-4-5 type starters. You need a one or a two and hope that Leiter's development, which is slowed this year, returns to where I believe it eventually will return to, a top-tier type starter.
Can we go back to Adolis Garcia, my guy?
Sure.
Bar none, he was at midseason, he was my fantasy MVP. He's my fantasy MVP now. If he stays healthy, he's going to be it at the end of the season. This guy got 19 home runs, 18 stolen bases. He's hitting a respectable .254, which is about league average. He's got 66 runs. He's got 74 RBIs. Last year it was 77 and 90, so assuming health, he's going to blow past those. You're talking a guy who's on a 25-25 pace that's going to probably have 100 RBIs and 90 runs scored.
Yes.
But yet, you look at the batting average, and you look at his swing and miss, and he only walks 6% of the time, and you get scared off. Where does he go in drafts next season?
Probably lower than he should, because there is risk. Serious risk.
Yeah.
If he's batting .180 at the end of May next year, he could be gone.
He is. It's interesting, Tim. He's 29 already. He's just starting his major league career. So, you know, it's not like this is, we're building, is this going to take him some more time to develop? No, this is it. He is who he is. And he is getting better, right? I mean, he's walking a little bit more. He's striking out a little less. He's not chasing as much. And you can only tell on television. But, boy, this guy really seems like he is trying to really not swing at pitches way outside the strike zone. I mean, because I've watched a number of his at-bats, and he's trying. It overcomes him sometimes, but he's trying. So,
well, just to give you an example, okay? Robbie Grossman was a 2020 player last year.
Yep.
Where is Robbie Grossman today?
That's a fair point.
The fact that Adolis Garcia could be a 25-25 player, I think it's outstanding, and I think it's wonderful, and I'm happy for the...
But that's a second-round pick, right? If he does 90 and 100, isn't that a second-round pick? But he's not going to go in the second or third round. He's going to go probably a lot lower than that.
He'll go probably somewhere in the fourth to sixth, and it will be on the strength of the stolen bases. I think it's when you start looking at risk reward. Okay, there's a ton of risk, but there's also a ton of reward sitting there. I just have a hard time drafting him in a situation where as a number three outfielder, I like it. Okay, I think I can take that risk. As a number two, that's pushing it for me.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. Take a look. Let me see if I can bring up what his ADP was. I'm telling you, Tim, there's a lot of people that...
He wasn't drafted, I don't think.
Adolis Garcia was definitely drafted fairly early this year.
Let me just see here.
So I have to believe he's on a lot of winning fantasy teams this year.
I would have to think so, yeah. There's only one player that I see potentially.
167. That was, his ADP was 171.09 was his ADP. So
yeah, I think the one player that definitely stands heads above anybody on winning teams is Aaron Judge.
Oh, for sure.
If you happen to draft Aaron Judge, you should be in the top three positions. Assuming that you didn't have catastrophic failure.
Like Tatis Jr. Or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you might even be able to survive Tatis Jr. if you had Aaron Judge Aaron Judge has 12 stolen bases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Adolis Garcia was the 46th outfielder off the board.
Yep.
Guys that went in front of him, Avisaugh Garcia, Dylan Carlson, Alex Verdugo, Hunter Renfro, Akil Baddoo, Austin Meadows, Trent Grisham, Jarrett Kelenic. Just tell me when to stop, Timmy. Lourdes Gurriel, Miles Straw. He went behind all of these guys. I mean, we're talking a guy that's going to go 25-25. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he should be ahead of a lot of those players. Like I said, If I can get him as number three outfielder next year, I'll be perfectly fine with that. To get him as a number two means you're going to have to bump him up ahead of players. Well, and there's some players that you can bump him up ahead of. Yeah, you know, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger went in the top 30.
Yep. Yeah, that's
it. Marte went in the top 30.
It's amazing when you think of Bellinger and Yelich. I mean, those are recent MVPs. I mean, this is not like 10 years ago MVP. These are recent MVPs that, I mean, it's tough to own those guys now, draft those guys.
Well, yeah, Christian Yelich is pretty well on my do not draft or, you know, fourth, fifth outfielder.
Don't you think injuries just got to that guy? I mean, it's just the backs, the back woes, and he just can't swing effectively anymore.
Well, yeah, he's 16 stolen bases. He's probably going to get to 20 in the stolen base category, but 9 homers, a .250 batting average. He's got 74 runs scored. But again, there's no power showing up. 9 homers, 37 RBIs. He's got half the RBIs that he does runs scored.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could talk about the Rangers and everything else. Let's get back to my list. I'm going to skip 6 and 7. We'll come back to those after the break. I want to get to 8. And it talk the catching situation in Oakland, which Shang Langliers has gotten called up to me. He's already hit a home run. Same day, Murphy hits 2 home runs, thinking, okay, they call this bright new shiny bobble up. Don't forget about me.
Yep.
And Murphy's been pretty good. So, but I really want to focus on, like, that playing time in Oakland. How's it going to shake out? Are they both going to share the catching spot / DH? That's what it appears. Is Langliers going to get enough playing time to be relevant? Is Murphy going to lose play? Help me with that, because I am in all due respect, I am a owner of Sean Murphy in a fantasy league, and I want him to continue to play.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned. You know, Murphy this year, .249 batting average, 16 homers, 52 RBIs, 51 runs scored.
It's a good player.
Yeah, it's a top five catcher, .327 OBP.
Yep.
Sean Murphy is a fine option, and he has, 2 years of service time in, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Murphy isn't going anywhere.
But, you know, Shang, if you told me in 2 years you read that off and said that's what Shay Langliers is doing, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't either. But what incentive do the A's have right now to move Sean Murphy? Absolutely none.
Except he would return a fortune.
Well, yes, he might, but...
Great defender. He's a great defensive catcher with top 5, top 7 offensive skills, and he is under team control. That's a guy that's really valuable.
Well, yeah, which, again, another year of those numbers increases his value exponentially. Yeah, I think right now that Langliers is your number two catcher in Oakland. Okay, he is going to catch a couple games a week. In between, he's going to DH probably 3 games a week. Okay, so he's going to get the opportunity to learn the job behind Sean Murphy and still get ample at-bats. At the same point in time, it's not going to cost Sean Murphy any playing time whatsoever.
So you think he's still going to get his 400 at-bats, 450 at-bats for the season?
Yes, I have no concern.
And prorate it for the rest of this year. You think Shay Langliers, is he worth a pickup for the rest of the season?
Most definitely. Because when he's not backing up Sean Murphy and learning the catching gig, he's going to be DHing.
By the way, there's not a lot for Shang Langliers to learn behind the plate. I mean, Murphy is a great defender. Langliers is a great defender. I mean, it's you're probably tomato, who's better.
Well, yeah, but again, we are talking about the move to Major League Baseball, and the caliber plays a little bit higher. Mm. It gives Langliers, it's a nice opportunity, I believe, for Langliers, because he doesn't force him into a situation.
It's fair.
Like Adley Rutschman, who was forced, to struggle through 3 to 4 weeks of being a full-time catcher when he probably should have been a part-time catcher to start. Sure.
Adley Rutschman has
shown us that who he is, but the first 3-4 weeks were rough for Rutschman.
when I first saw Adley Rutschman playing in the minor leagues, the first thing, it wasn't the bat, it was his ability to control the game that impressed me. He is the captain on that field. Like, he's in charge. He's the catcher. He's shouting out orders. He's pointing and stuff like that. He's doing it in the major leagues, Timmy, as a rookie. And guess what? People are listening to him.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive, right? It's just like great leadership skills, and that's the first thing.
Yeah, they're listening a lot more to him now than they were in the first 2-3 weeks of his season. You know,
I'm sure they were. I'm sure he was carrying plenty of duffel bags the first couple of weeks of the season, but I think everybody on that Orioles team knew that this guy is the real deal, and you know, it doesn't take long. Because you see him after a win of a game. I mean, he is encouraging to everyone. It's just a great thing. It's what you want to see in a young player.
Elite level catcher.
Yep.
Yep, all the way around. But again, Langeliers gets the benefit, okay, of being in not a high profile situation, and the opportunity to slide into the major league role a little bit easier than it was with Adley, and I think that's got to help him. DHing, he's going to get his at-bats, he's going to get the opportunity to swing the stick and slide into, you know, his role, which I think right now will be a backup to Sean Murphy, which is perfectly fine for us, okay? Because all we want, we don't care.
Catcher eligibility, yep. Yep.
Yeah,
we want same with William Contreras.
Yeah, so. Exactly. We really don't care if he's full-time catcher, part-time catcher. As long as he's eligible and he gets 350 to 500 at-bats, life is good, right?
Totally agree with you, Timmy. I'll just add, and we'll take a break, I would not be surprised if Murphy gets moved in the offseason, because I think he would return a ton. I think Shea Langeliers is that good that it's going to be almost like when Baltimore moved Jorge Lopez, who was arguably a top five closer when they moved him. They replaced him with arguably a top five closer. Batista's ridiculous. Sometimes you trade from strength. Now, I don't know if I trust the A's to get the right value. I mean, look what they got for Montas. I don't know, man. I don't know about that. But, I mean, those Sears has actually been pretty good. But, you know, it's we'll see how it all comes up. But the two things is Shea Langeliers is going to get enough playing time to roster him. And Rich from North Carolina, Rich from New Jersey, stopped talking to you because of the Rowan Wick situation. But Rich from North Carolina is still talking to you that Murphy is still going to get enough playing time that he doesn't need to bench him.
No concerns. Okay. None whatsoever.
Timmy, you can't have both of our Riches pissed off at you, so you better be right here.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Hey, maybe the A's will trade him for Roman Wick.
Oh, man. Let's take a break, get back, and let's try to pump out these last four quickly. Tony Gonsolin, Timmy, won his 15th game. Still has a chance to win 20 games. He's ranked fourth on the CBS Player Rater. The only chink in the armor is modest strikeouts, 113 and 123 innings pitch. Let's see if we can rank the top pitchers in the game for the rest of the season, shall we?
Yeah, I think this is a fun exercise.
Well, go ahead. I've got the list up, but I want you, since you're the fantasy expert, give me the top. First, let's start with the top five.
Okay, Jake DeGrom.
Whoa. Stop. After three games, Jake DeGrom is now the top starting pitcher in the game.
After the first game, yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
We didn't need 2 and 3 to reinforce
that. It's ridiculous. Now, he's probably going to opt out, which is going to be really fascinating to me. He might literally break the bank for like a 3-year deal. So that's going to be a lot of fun in the offseason.
Yeah.
Where is he from? Do we know? Could he be a target for Texas?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? That would change the dynamics in Texas very clearly.
It would change the dynamic anywhere. That's what's...
Yeah.
He is...
Again, it's all about the health. When he is healthy, he's the best pitcher in the game. He's on a level that nobody else is anywhere close to.
Yeah, I don't know hometown. I thought Fangraphs would have it, but they don't. How can they not have... Where his hometown is?
His hometown?
Yeah, I want to see where he's from. If he's like a Texas kid, he might want to play. Because, you know, this would be probably he's 34, 35, so this would probably be his last kick at the can, and you would think maybe maybe that's what he would want to do, is go back and play closer to home with children and stuff like that.
Well, the school he went to was Stetson, so that's a Western thing, isn't it? That's a Texas thing.
Stetson is he's from Florida. So the land. No, Stetson's actually an interesting. It sounds
bad, isn't it?
It's bad, but I don't think. Actually, I think there's been some players that came out of the Stetson Hatters. They are in. I don't know where they are, Tim. I'll keep looking that up. Okay, Jacob DeGrom is number one. Who's number two?
Sandy Alcantara.
Okay, just give me the top five.
Corbin Burns.
Maybe just for a moment of Corbin Burns. This is how good the Dodgers are. I was watching that game last night, and Burns is really good. I applaud you for putting a number three. It was just you were holding your breath that the Dodgers would not get to him, and it looked like they were close to getting to him. Tim, before they actually took him out. If that's how good the Dodgers are, I mean, it's an awful lineup to try to get through.
Yeah, they got a good team. They, you know, say what you want about their pitching challenges whatsoever. Yeah, hey, Dustin Mays showing up on Saturday, and I'm betting he shoves it right out of the gate.
Looks like Stetson University is in Jacob DeGrom's hometown of Delane, Florida. That's interesting. So he must like to stay near home. So that's fascinating.
Well, hey, the Marlins could use another arm.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. He's not going to go there. All right. So give me another guy. That's four.
Two. Guy Burns at three. Garrett Cole at four.
Really interesting.
Yes.
Not mine.
Dylan Cease at five.
I agree. I think that's bold. Interesting that Shane McClanahan, who was everybody's number one pitcher at midseason, has dropped a little bit. So he's not in your top five yet.
No, but guess who's number six?
I'm going to say Shane McClanahan.
Yeah, there we have a bingo. Yes.
Okay, so Tony Gonsolin is the... Well, Justin Verlander hasn't been talked about yet. He's actually the number one pitcher on the board. So who's number seven?
Why don't you just call out my list, Rich? At number seven, we have Justin Verlander. How's that?
I agree with that. So let's see. We've got Julio Urias still out there. We've got Carlos Rodon. We've got Tony Gonsolin, Alec Manoa. I'm going to say it's Alec Manoa's number eight.
I went with Tony Gonsolin.
Oh, good for you. He's a good pitcher, Timmy. I mean, that guy's got a nasty splitter. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and believe it or not, Alex Manoa and Julio Urias didn't make my top 10.
Really? Why not Alec Manoa?
I like them both, and they're in the 11 to 13, 14 range, both of them. Hmm. They just missed the cut for me by a bit, because I sort of like Aaron Nola at 9.
Wait a minute, where's Justin Verlander?
At 7.
Oh, he did. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Gonsolin at 8.
Okay, and 9 is?
Aaron Nola in Philadelphia.
Okay, and then who's 10? Max Fried?
I got the first name right.
Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer.
Boy, pitching is pretty deep, Timmy. Those are really good pitchers, and you didn't include a couple of really good pitchers.
Well, yeah, and, you know, when I look at Nola and Scherzer, the reason that they're getting a bit of an edge for me over, say, Manoa and Urias and Fried, the strikeout rates. Manoa's strikeout rates are solid. as are Urias, but they're not great. They're less than a strikeout per inning.
Interesting.
Okay, they're all very close. They really are. And both those guys are top 15 pitchers, all three of them, actually. It's a good solid group, but I think we're going to find the same thing that happened this year. I think you're going to have to grab... You're going to need, in your first seven picks, you're going to need two starting pitchers.
Yeah.
With high K rates, because I think what's going to happen is once we get down into your 3, 4, 5 starters, it's going to fall off a cliff pretty quick.
Yeah, it's interesting. You start to look at, like, Logan Webb, 154 and two-thirds innings, 125 strikeouts. Musgrove is pretty much a strikeout an inning.
Yeah.
Tristan McKenzie's a little less than a strikeout in any.
Yep.
Here's the guy that's, I mean, Nestor Cortes, Tim, he's going to go as a high, I mean, based on what he did this year, as a high number two starter. Do you dare take him as a high number two starter?
No, I don't.
Do you want to think about that?
Okay.
No.
I thought about it. No. The guy that I want is the number four starter on the Houston Astros.
Framber?
Christian Javier.
Interesting.
Take a look at his strikeout numbers.
Yeah.
And remember, he didn't pitch as a starter the first month of the season.
Yeah, but
he's a month down on everybody, okay? I think he's only got 18 starts. Yeah, he's got 18 starts. 106 innings, 106 and a third, 138 strikeouts with a 2.96 ERA as the number four in Houston. You want to match that number four up against most other teams' number four starters?
Yeah, I know. That's why Houston's so good. I mean,
well, yeah,
that doesn't even include Lance McCullers, who looked pretty good in his first start back.
Well, yeah, one of my goals heading into the 2023 season is to own Christian Javier on as many teams as I possibly can.
Okay, I agree. Let's do the same thing. Great list, Timmy. We could talk all day. Let's go to the hitters. Can we rank the top 10 hitters?
Yes.
That, you know, the rest of the season, going into next year, whatever you want to call it.
You don't want my sleepers?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Of the year?
Oh, give me your two sleepers for the balance of the year.
Jordan Montgomery.
Really, it's...
Three starts with the Cards. He's allowed one earned run. My other one is, believe it or not, from the Anaheim Angels, Reed Detmers. In his past six starts, he has allowed a total of 7 earned runs.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So, Montgomery and Detmers.
Oh, great calls, Timmy. You know, we're already at an hour and 10. We still got to hear your two guys. We're going to hold the hitters for Sunday, Tim.
Yeah, I'm easy. You want to talk a little longer? I can do that, too.
I do not, Tim. We got started a little late.
Yeah.
So Lori's getting her second booster, so she's going to be home soon, and that means craziness from the dogs. And so I think she's having coffee.
Need to rest and, yeah,
so she's she had some issues after the first, all of her shots. So I'm expecting tomorrow is going to be a bit of a challenge for her. But Timmy, let's take a break, get back, and let's see who Tim is picking up, and then we'll get out of here. I had my second booster last week, Tim, and really no issues. Arm hurt a bit, but some chills the second day. Other than that, I'm good to go. So,
yeah.
So
I had my first booster, and it was the only one of, that was my fourth shot, the three plus the booster. And the only one that didn't give me any flack was the booster. The first three I had some problems with, but the booster, just a bit of a sore arm for 24 hours and no problems at all. I was rather impressed with that.
I take the Dr. Tim Weber approach. I take Tylenol. I don't know. It seems to work. So that's okay. I just start taking Tylenol a couple of days before each shot, and it might just be a placebo effect, Timmy. But it seems to be working. So I'm not going to change anything.
Yes, it's an effect of placebo. That's all that matters.
Exactly. So, Timmy, let's talk about the two guys that you're picking up for the week. And give me one hitter and one pitcher. You know, you've got a list already of 18 guys.
Yeah. Oh, one hitter, one pitcher. I got to go with Brett Beatty in New York.
Brett Beatty. Okay, great.
Yeah, that would be my bat. And my pitcher, I'm going to go with a guy that's... shouldn't be forgotten, but he has been, and through no fault of his own, simply because of the depth of the New York Metropolitans starting pitching, I got to go with David Peterson. I think he's
really
to the tune of 38%.
I know Taiwan Walker got taken out. I don't know if they...
he's got a bulging disc in his back, apparently.
Oh, really? Is that why I got to, that's not good.
Well, no, and Carrasco's on the IL.
Oh, so, all right, so Peterson's going to, he's definitely got a gig going forward then.
Yeah, he's expected to be recalled to start one of the games in Philly on Saturday in the doubleheader. But
interesting.
He's won 6 of his 14 starts. He's got a 3.30 ERA, 91 strikeouts, and 79 innings. I believe he's rostered in CBS at 38%. It's time that we jumped all over David Peterson, because I can see him sliding into that rotation between Carrasco and Taiwan Walker's back. Yeah, there's going to be an opportunity there down the stretch, and the Mets have got a really good team, so I'd be all over David Peterson.
That's a great call, because Peterson's not been awful when he's pitched. So
he's been good, really.
And he's got
good.
A chance to win games, because the Mets are very good.
Yeah. Before we depart... can I put a PSA out there, public service announcement?
Sure, because I actually had another question for you. So can I do my question first and then you do your PSA?
Sounds good.
Dustin May starts on Saturday, I think. Let's say the Dodgers give him 3 starts and then push him into the bullpen, and he absolutely shoves it in those 3 starts, and who cares what he does in the bullpen. Come next season, is he a guy that you're going to ratchet up a couple of rounds, because he might go a little lower just because of the lack of innings? What's your thought on Dustin May, assuming he shoves it in his first 3 or 4 starts?
Well, I think Dustin May is going to be, I had some doubts as to where he was going to fit in. Okay, the Walker Buehler news sort of has me leaning.
Oh, that's right. We didn't bring that up. That sucks.
Yes, that totally sucks. As does the Tarek Skubal news. More succotage coming on the pitch.
But it's interesting. Let's talk about Tarek Skubal. That was weird, because he's not having Tommy John surgery. He's having a flexor tendon surgery, which I guess in the whole scheme of things is better, but he's still going to be out till probably May or June.
They're saying 6 to 9 months, okay? So when they say 6 to 9, go 9 to 12.
So that's almost like
I've got him as a keeper in the XFL at $10 next year, $13 the year after. I'm going to probably cut him loose.
Oh, it sucks.
Because I'm not totally. But you know what? What happens if there's problems with? We could see a second Tommy John, couldn't we?
With Tarek Skubal, that's not going to be good. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're saying it's not. Now, what's weird? If Walker Buehler, they're not saying it is or it isn't. Right?
Well, yeah, we don't know what's happening with Walker Buehler, no.
He's going in for surgery, and then they're going to decide once they open him up what to do? Really?
They're going to make an announcement 2 weeks after his surgery that he had Tommy John,
maybe.
Yeah. The mystery and mayhem surrounding starting pitchers. Like, Skubal had a tired arm, and now he could miss upwards of half the season next year, and who knows what we're going to get when he returns.
That's why these freaks like Max Scherzer, Timmy, they just pitch. Just go out and pitch, man, and it's just like rubber arms. It's just amazing.
Yeah, Justin Verlander.
But he did have Tommy John surgery, in all due respect. He had it, he missed, you know, 18 months because of Tommy John surgery. Max Scherzer rarely misses time, like an oblique here and there. But and he's, you know,
Justin Verlander has struggled with his control this year, hasn't he?
Yeah,
his first year back from Tommy John. Oh man,
it is unbelievable. All right, Timmy, what's your PSA, and we got to get out of here.
My PSA concerns the Arizona Fall League.
Oh,
and it's
Fall Stars game on Sunday.
Yes. That happens to be the weekend of the Fall Forum that Baseball HQ puts on every year. A great opportunity to spend time with friends and looking at our great game. But I think the plans were originally that the Fall Stars game would be the Saturday, the Home Run Derby on the Friday. Well, guess what, folks? They're not cooperating. They moved the Home Run Derby to Saturday. The Fall Stars game is Sunday at 5 o'clock. If you've made your travel plans, hotel reservations, in my case, I lucked out. I decided I was going to stay there Sunday night anyways, get an extra night in, and then start my drive back home on the Monday. So it worked out just great for me, but for a lot of people, and I know a couple friends yesterday were scrambling like crazy to change flight plans. The Fall Stars game is on the Sunday.
Good luck changing flight plans, Timmy. That's going to cost people a fortune.
Yes, so. It's a bit of a pain in the keister, isn't it? And it's a bit surprising as well.
Well, in all due respect, they should have waited till the schedule came out. I mean, I literally made my flight arrangements after I got this, after the schedule came out, because I'm going the first day, opening day.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if it was going to be Monday or Tuesday. It's typically been Tuesday, so I just held off, and I finally went ahead and pulled the trigger. So things changed, Tim. So.
Well, yeah, they definitely do, but I just wanted to put it out there. Hey, for everybody who's thinking of attending that weekend, if you can find a way to extend it by a day, you'll catch the Fall Star game. And in all probability, you'll get the opportunity to see Eli De La Cruz hit his 48th home run of the season or something like that.
Or you go not that weekend, Timmy.
That's
you just
correct.
Just go during those games. You go early when all the pitchers are going to be pitching. That's the time, I think, to go. And then you get two games a day. If you go for that weekend, you know, you're not going to see games on Saturday. There's going to be one game on Sunday. And if you got there on Friday, you're really not going to get a chance to catch but one or two games. And so you're really going for the Forum. So it's best, you know, if you just want to go watch kids play, you go one of the 5 weeks prior to that.
Yeah,
so
you head in for the first weekend is what you do.
Or first weekend or take some time off, because they don't play on Sunday. So, you know, so it's best. I think it's best to go early because you get the starting pitchers and everybody's generally healthy, et cetera. So, yeah.
Right. I plan on arriving on the Sunday before.
Oh, great. So you'll be there a whole week.
Yeah, I'm there for 8 nights.
Wow, good for you.
So I'm gonna catch games, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. There's two games Thursday, Friday, I believe, that week as well. I'm going to get lots of opportunity to catch games and visit with friends on the weekend, do the XFL draft. It's going to work out fine for me. But
great.
I just thought I would mention it to any of our listeners who are looking at going to the HQ Forum. Try and extend it by one day.
Good stuff, Tim. That's a wrap, my friend. We will talk to you on Sunday. Tim, enjoy your games. Good luck in all of your leagues except for DL5.
It's funny. I was going to mention exactly the same thing as we sit a half point apart heading into.
Oh, is that league. We're that close? Okay, it's funny.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that's going to go right down to the last day. It really is. And I wish you and Sean all the best as we duke it out for the title.
Well, hopefully, I got Mikey Trout in my lineup, so he's supposed to start tonight, right?
Yes, I believe we're looking.
That's.
Of Mike Trout, yes.
That's going to be great. You know what sucked, Timmy? So I went on Monday. I went to visit my mom down in Maryland. So I was out of touch on Monday. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that George Springer was, you know, going to play. It was on my IL. And then I get back to the hotel, and I'm checking. I'm like, what's George Springer hit a home run? George Springer's off the IL. I missed George Springer's whole week. I missed the 5 for 5 yesterday. That just stinks.
Well, you know, if it's any consolation, he did have one game where he didn't get a hit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Rich from New Jersey still hates you, so it's okay.
And I would expect nothing but.
Timmy, be well. Talk to you on
Sunday. I wish you good fortune.
Be well. Be well, Tim.